Brothers and sisters, I believe the Lord has had his way this morning, and he's given me some direction for what I've been studying and desire to share it with you. Lord, we are so thankful that you care for us in everything. And Lord, that you have made us to walk by the Spirit. And Lord, you have given us your power to be able to be what you would have us be. And Lord, we ask you to help us to see what you are saying, what you have written down in your word, that we may see and know and be convinced in the Spirit, in our inner being, that you have done and are doing what you have planned from the beginning and have intended to show us and to show the world. We do thank you and praise you, Lord, for your wonderful loving kindness to us. In your name we do pray. Amen. By way of opening this morning, felt to read out of 1 Thessalonians, and I shared that with you all. I'll just remind you quickly that Paul here is saying he is speaking what has happened. He's reminding the Thessalonians what has happened, what his intent, what the Lord's intent through him was to be, and what he accomplished, and also what was happening because of those things, what was happening through the Thessalonians. He says, and in verse 10, chapter 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, "You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave towards you as believers, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children." So he was speaking for God. He was leading them, telling them of his of what God had led him to do while he was among them. So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. He goes on, and there's a lot here, and if I could dwell on this, but I want you to hear the overview, the heavenly view of what the Lord is doing in our lives on the earth. And he has laid it out in the scripture. He tells us in Thessalonians, he tells us in John 6, he tells us in Psalm 143, he tells us in the testimony that we hear. Last week, Judy stood up and told us, let us know what she had heard of the Lord regarding us being in prayer, that we are to call, ask God that when we pray, we are asking God to hear us. We are coming before him in faith. Hear my cry is what David says over and over again in Psalms. And we may go back there if time allows. The Lord is calling us, and the Lord is telling us here in Thessalonians what he is doing, what he has done in the Apostle Paul, and that he is telling them to be in verse 14 of chapter 2, "Become imitators of the churches, for you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, and you also endured the same sufferings at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews." The Lord is using his servants. He is using his word. He is using, by the Holy Spirit, he is touching the hearts of those around us. Just as Jay got up and testified about his time going in to get a cardiac, well, he didn't get a cardiac cath, he got the cardiac stress test. There you go. And the nuclear stress test. The Lord is working through us. He is, you know, this is, Jay could go in, and he knows enough, if he were to be so foolish, to try to convince people in the power, in his, by his persuasion. But the words that Jay spoke is, I sensed in the spirit to speak to this woman. I didn't sense anything in the spirit with this man. And then this other, and another woman, I sensed in the spirit the sweetness and the love and the care. And in this body today, we have, the Lord has, the Holy Spirit, as the oil in the lamp has been consumed, light has been shed, as incense in the spirit, we have, there has been a aroma of the presence of the Lord going forth. Now, to us, we are so blessed that we, time and time again, the Lord uses us and gives us sweetness and spiritual aroma, spirit, and in that there is power. It's in, of course, we're all familiar with Galatians chapter 5 and the attributes of the Spirit, and that if we walk in the Spirit, we will become loving and caring and have mercy. But if we walk in the flesh, we have envying and strife. The darkness that Judy was speaking of, that this Scottish sister, what was her first
name?
Mary. That was hard. I couldn't remember that. That Mary, you know, and she didn't pass, you know, by men's standards. You know, as humans, we look for Saul. He was tall. He was strong. He was somebody, you know, I'd be willing to follow him because he hopefully will protect me. You know, tiny little woman should not, by our standards, have had any influence at all and should have been stopped at the border, not been able to go in. She went to places, you know, what a testimony. And we are tempted to think, well, gee, I need to be like that. No, you don't. You need to be to hear what the Lord is saying and to testify. What Yvonne has had on her heart for these veterans and their wives, you know, that they need to hear the Lord and they need to have the word. And Jimmy and the love of the unsaved that's been put on his heart to put Bibles in their hand, that they might know who it is we are speaking of. And that's what's happening here in Thessalonians. This is just one example of many, and I want to talk about a few more. But here, Paul is describing what happened and how he was led by the Lord here. He wasn't led by the Lord the same way in every case. Some places he became, you know, here he's making tents, it says. In other places, he didn't have to. He was being carried. He was being helped. The Lord provided. And so over and over again, The Lord is showing us in his word and in the testimonies of the saints and in the witness in our hearts, he is showing us his power and his desire to be seen, to be heard, to be smelled, to be tasted. To taste the Lord Jesus, to eat this bread unto salvation, to drink his blood, the new covenant. He is moving, and he is moving through his people, and he does it in all the way, all his ways. His ways, as Isaiah says in Isaiah, his ways are higher than our ways. I wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't have sent little Mary. We'd been looking for Saul, perhaps. Or perhaps the Lord has touched us and we realize, well, like Xenia going forth, you know, the Lord has put on our hearts to support her. Who'd have thunk? You know, she's not a power, she is a powerful person, but she's a powerful person in the Lord. Not by overwhelming strength. So the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, has reached out and he has touched the Thessalonians, and they are touching those around them. It says, be imitators of me, be witnesses of me. Don't be concerned that there is darkness around us. Don't be concerned. Stand in the presence of the Lord. Stand upon the rock. He is the rock. And he is he will sustain us. He will keep us. He will make us able. Our lives are let me pass on that for a moment. I mentioned a few weeks ago when I spoke, talked a little bit about from John chapter 6. And Jeff mentioned it again today in a different place. It is a powerful chapter. And the point that I wanted to make there, the story, of course, or the history that's happening and what the Lord is doing, is the great multitude had followed him. He was teaching. He had begun his ministry, and he was being noticed. And people wanted to hear him. And, you know, it's just same with things today. And when somebody has an exciting message, people want to go out and hear it. And they showed up, and there were a lot of them that, you know, they really weren't touched by it. They were interested in the show, perhaps, or hearing the word, or maybe they wanted to hear the Pharisees put down, or whatever it was he was sharing. Perhaps they had heard the Sermon on the Mount and had been touched by it. Some of the Pharisees certainly were. Many were not. They didn't hear that God, that Jesus was telling them, you cannot fulfill the law. The law is greater than you. It is describing who I am and who my Father is. And the standard you cannot live up to. They didn't. Some of them may have heard that. Some of them, the apostles certainly, were following him because he called them and they heard and were touched, and the Holy Spirit came to them and said, and drew them. They left their nets, they left their occupations. Matthew, the tax collector, came to be touched by him. So, in chapter 6, he says, great multitude was following him, and I mentioned this before. Great multitude was following him, and they were seeing the signs which he was performing. This is verse 2 of chapter 6. They were seeing the signs that he was performing on those who were sick. And that's a crowd draw. But he was drawing those who were, he wanted. He was drawing true believers, those who would come to him. And many others came as well and heard and saw and did not believe. In verse 5, Jesus, therefore, lifting up his eyes and seeing what a great multitude was coming to him, said to Philip, "Where are we to get bread, to buy bread, that these may eat?" Now, if you hear that question at the level of earth, which I believe Philip did, he recognized, he saw the crowd, he knew they would be hungry. He understood how hungry they would be and how much food would be necessary. He was, in his practical human self, he answers Jesus and says, in verse 7, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. Well, that's a practical answer. Philip had no business giving him a practical answer. Philip had seen the miracles that he was doing. And I'm not trying to condemn Philip. The Lord doesn't condemn Philip. So who am I? Got to condemn me. And who am I to condemn me? He has said, "I am righteous." And I am because of him, not because of what I've done. But Philip, and this is us, this is what I want us to hear and to do. Philip needed to say, "Lord, I don't know. What are you going to do?" Because it says in verse 6, in between those two, in between him speaking to Philip and Philip answering, it says he was saying this to test him, not to condemn him. For he himself knew, he, Jesus, himself knew what he was intending to do. He knows what he's intending to do. When Jay went into the hospital for that test, he knew, Jesus knew what he wanted him to do, what he was going to do, who he was going to touch and who he wasn't going to touch. And he gave it to Jay as Jay needed to know. And Mary, you know, can you imagine? We can't imagine her doing those things. But the Lord Jesus knew what he was going to do when he called her and knew how fantastic a testimony the testimony of Jesus was and how she would be faithful to speak it. He goes on here and says, so he's spoken to Philip. And Philip has answered and missed the, "I don't know what we're going to do. How can the world, why, don't ask me, you are the Lord." I'm sorry, I don't mean to put my opinion in there. I don't want to condemn him. He doesn't deserve it. He may deserve it, but he doesn't get it from the Lord, therefore he is not condemned. From one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "But there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are these for so many people?" Andrew was pretty close to saying, "I don't know." And he basically does say, "I don't know what we're going to do, but there's a lad here with just a lunch. And the boy was willing to give his lunch. And Jesus, accepting all of this, he fed them, he sat them down, and they distributed the food. And it was a miracle. He is able to provide our sustenance. He is able to provide our food, our drink, Lord, our very life. And I'm going to skip over, and I think I skipped over it before, that the disciples go off across the sea and leave the place where they had been fed, and they came and they were trying to understand what the Lord was doing, and Jesus speaks to them and says, you're not coming to me you're coming to me because you have been fed, not because you love me, not because you are ready for the food which endures to eternal life. I want you to come in verse 27, but you do not work for the food which perishes. I'm sorry. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you, and on him the Father, even God, has set his seal. The disciples didn't understand. The crowd didn't understand. The Pharisees wanted to see signs, and he had given signs, but they couldn't see. They were blind. Jesus is working. The Holy Spirit is working at this time, and he is leading them and giving them the Word of God, fulfilling the purpose of God, that they would be able to understand and to be made righteous by trusting and believing in him. But they wanted to know how to do it. Verse 28, they said therefore to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" I want to figure out how I can do this so that, maybe if you're not around, I can do it on my own, or I don't know. What is it we think when we want to try to figure something out? We want to be able to control it. We want to be able to do it. We want to be able to manage it. The Lord answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." That's what the Thessalonians did, right? That's what Paul was telling them and reminding them, what he had seen in them, what they saw in him, what they were seeing, what we see. We are to believe in him whom he has sent. The Lord takes us by the Holy Spirit, takes us to places and shows us things and raises up things, and he puts his finger on them and he lights them up. He highlights them so that we may know, that we might, like the apostles here, come to know more of what he is saying and doing. As I referred to, and earlier, and read last week after Judy's testimony, Psalm 143 is a prayer for deliverance, of a Psalm of David. And it has the words that Judy was struck by. "Hear my prayer, O Lord," David is speaking, "hear my prayer." David was walking with the Lord. You know, when we read this, we may gloss over and misunderstand this first four verses, because He's saying, I am overwhelmed. In verse 4, therefore my spirit is overwhelmed within me and my heart is appalled within me. Because the enemy, in verse 3, the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my light to the ground. And if he gets a chance, he's going to do it to us. But, Jesus has given us life. David is talking to his friend. He is talking to one that he knows. He is praying. This is what praying without ceasing is like. It's not about having a prayer list that's as long as the Encyclopedia Britannica. Is that even still around anymore? Maybe in the library somewhere, in the archives. But David was not, he was being touched. He was being honest and open and sharing with the Lord his concern for himself, his concern for the things that the Lord is doing. He knows. The way it's written, the way I hear this is different perhaps than the way you might understand the writing here. But he says, answer me in thy faithfulness, this is the end of verse 1, answer me in thy faithfulness and thy righteousness, and do not enter into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight, do not enter into judgment with thy servant. He is saying to the Lord, I know you're not going to judge me. I have come to know. I know you're not going to enter into judgment with the servant, for in your sight, he knows this because he says it, for in thy sight no man living is righteousness. What's happened, Lord, is that the enemy is persecuting my soul. I know it. I feel it. I sense the sense of being crushed, my life into the ground. He's made me dwell in dark places like those who have been long dead. And my spirit is overwhelmed within me. But Lord, you are still there. You are still with me. And I remember, verse 5, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all the things that you... He's remembering how he lived as a shepherd. How he, with his sling, killed Goliath. How he, as a shepherd, turned the wolf away and the bear and the lion. He is being honest and this is where we are walking. We are walking in a place that is dark and fearful and overwhelming. And yet the Lord has given us witness and testimony of himself. He has given us our brothers and sisters. He has given us the word. He is going to accomplish his purpose. As we pray, as we come before him, lift up. He has placed my feet on a rock. He has declared me righteous. I don't have to justify myself. He justifies me. He is able and desires for us to walk by the Spirit into places that we shouldn't go. And he is continuing, and we should call upon him as David did in his prayer here, down in verse 10. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Let thy good spirit lead me on level ground. You know, in Romans chapter 7, Paul says there's nothing good that dwells within me. And we want... I believe what the Lord has shown me, and I ask you to consider, is we want to look at Romans 7 as a step, a line that we're crossing. We're going over into this and we'll never go back. I don't believe that's what he's saying. What he's saying is that despite the fact that you are weak, that your flesh is weak, that your flesh wants to do what it wants to do and not what I have told you to do and what I want you to do, he's saying, I'm not judging you. There is now, therefore, Romans 8, no condemnation. I've provided everything for you, and you will have it. Continue to walk in me. Teach me, as David says here, to do thy will, for thou art my God. Let thy good spirit lead me on level ground. He's not trying to make this difficult. It's hard, but David knew he could ask the Lord to lead him on level ground. He doesn't have to lead him through the wilderness over rocks and mountains and hills. John the Baptist came to fill the valleys and level the mountains, that the Lord make way for the Lord to come. For the sake of thy name, O Lord, revive me, and in thy righteousness bring my soul out of trouble. This is verse 11. Bring my soul out of trouble, and in thy loving kindness cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. In the Spirit, we can say that. We are alive in the Spirit. Even though in the flesh we are being put down and our spirit is being troubled within us, we are still able to know that we are in his righteousness. Bring my soul out of trouble, for in thy loving kindness you love me. You love us. You love your people. Despite all that appears to be, cut off my enemies and destroy those who afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. I want to be, Lord, what you want me to be, what you would have me be. And Lord, even though I am beaten down and I feel the oppression of the enemy, you are able to work, you are able to move through me, you have the power and the ability to change what appears to be unchangeable. Lord, we are thankful and we praise you and thank you, Lord, that your love for us is beyond all measure, beyond our understanding. We ask you, Lord, to reveal yourself in your word, reveal yourself in the assembly, reveal yourself in our fellowship with our brothers and sisters, how you are able to bring us out and bring us in. Lord, you are, as you describe, you are the good shepherd. You know when you lead your sheep out and you lead them into shelter. Lord, you have done all of these things. And you will continue to do these things because you are the faithful one. You are the holy one. You want us to know you. You want us to know the Father. You have given us the Spirit that we might be a fragrance of life. We ask you, Lord, to use us. Lord, we ask you to enable our sister Yvonne this afternoon to speak your testimony. Lord, to be with Jay as he goes to his cardiac cath, that he might touch those around him with the power of your life. And each one of us, Lord, as we go about the things that are before us, Lord, we have, just as Paul, in Thessalonica, he was making tents so that he would not be a physical burden, that they would not have to support him, that they would not have to pay for his carry him and feed him and lodge him. Lord, you did that in that place and you provided. Lord, you provided in every place. We walk through this life and we see things. Lord, you are mightier. Your ways are not our ways. You show us, you keep us, you protect us. Lord, we are thankful. And Lord, we are thankful continually. Help us, Lord, to be constantly lifting you up in our prayer, in our voice, in our song, in our life. Praise your holy name, Lord. Glory be unto you. Amen.